The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness. Now, in its 28th year, your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor, and while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the Snowman himself, David Snow.
I can't live without you. Every morning, I long to hold you. I need you. I want you. I have to have you. Your warmth, your smell, your taste. Oh, coffee. I love you. Actually, I don't even drink coffee, but it is our topic of discussion during this hour's Dr. Health Radio Show. Good morning, and welcome once again to your caffeine-free wake-up call. No need to have a cup of fake awake today here, because we have more stimulating talk radio without the caffeine. And it's the Snowman with you, keeping you cool and healthy. Thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your weekend. And, of course, coffee enables you to do stupid things faster with more energy and to talk faster as if you were on a stimulant drug, which you are. In fact, it's the world's most popular drug by far, and I'm not even on it. By far enjoyed by almost 90% of the population. So is coffee harmful or healthful? We'll find out from an author and coffee scientist, Dr. Sean Steinman, who is the author of the Hawaii Coffee Book, as well as Coffee, the Comprehensive Guide to the Bean, the Beverage, and the Industry. And in just a few minutes, we'll talk about fake awake, as I call it, coffee and health, the history of coffee, environmental impacts that coffee has. You know, there's stripping in the rainforests, slave labor involved, I should say. And we'll talk about quality of coffee and how beans vary depending on the source, you know, like Kona coffee. Fraud that goes on there, supply and demand, and industry in general, and other caffeine-related happenings or information bits. So we'll talk about it all, and that'll be in just a few minutes after these announcements and the Health Hotline news. Hey, a few things about caffeine, in case if we don't get to them with our discussion with Dr. Steinman, that you need to know, and that is if you have GERD, gastric esophageal reflux disease, or heartburn, you definitely want to avoid not just coffee, but anything containing caffeine, as well as chocolate and high-fat foods, overeating, nicotine, and peppermint, ironically, which is a smooth muscle relaxant that relaxes the esophageal sphincter, and that causes your stomach acid to back up into the esophagus, which can exacerbate your condition, and that's not a good thing, so be aware of those things. Also of interest, if you have had too much caffeine, GABA, gamma-aminobutyric acid, that's an inhibitory compound, and your body produces it. It's like a neurotransmitter. But it can be an antidote to the stimulating effects of too much caffeine. GABA is available also as a supplement, not just internally produced, but you can take, I know Natural Factors has a chewable GABA, 100 milligrams, and that often will mitigate the effects of having consumed too much caffeine, especially later in the day. You know, it's interesting, in Japan, they have like GABA-fortified coffee and candies, so kids don't get as hyperactive. People that drink coffee that is fortified with GABA, they have the alertness and stimulant effect, but without the anxiety and the higher cortisol levels and things. So it's kind of a check and balance system. And so GABA mitigates the effects or the undesirable side effects of caffeine. Okay. All right. Next hour in the program, Jennifer Cochran joins us. She's the author of Alignment, Move from Internal Chaos to Clarity, Ways to Simplify Your Life. And she's helped hundreds of her clients do that with becoming healthier and having higher self-esteem. And we'll talk about simplifying your life and reducing the stress levels in your life. All right. Now I want to talk about a B&B-related magazine I know about. That is, B&B? Oh, yeah. Well, that's Becky and Bud's Natural Awakenings magazine, Hawaii's premier health magazine. But the August issue is not their premier edition. They've been on producing this for, what, going on 5 years now. So let's bring them on the air. Good morning, Becky and Bud. How the health are you?
We're great, David. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Now, this is an August, I should say, awesome August issue of your magazine. I mean, so many fascinating articles, one being Going Wild. I like to say that, I often go wild, but only until about 9 p.m., but that's another program. Anyway, foraging for food, you know, that's especially important to know about because for survival, if a catastrophe happens, I mean, we have hurricanes here in the islands. If we ever have anything that cut us off from the mainland, you want to know what you can, how to eat off the land. So that's a really informative and necessary article. Tell us about some of the other articles in the August edition of Natural Awakenings magazine.
Well, the nice thing about that foraging for food is we like to include recipes, and that one does have some recipes that are great. And it's easy to search for recipes in past editions on our website, too, David. So it's there's just a button there that says search for recipes, and all of the previous editions enable you to go back and find a recipe that you might have seen in the magazine.
You know, my favorite thing to make is reservations, but that's another program. you talk about Feeding Healthy Habits, a 10-step guide for helping our keiki to thrive. Talk about that article on healthy habits for kids.
There's about 10 points in there. The two of them I'd like to highlight as being especially important. First, teach your kids to cook.
Oh, good idea.
There are a lot of simple things that children can do of almost any age around the kitchen that would be safe. I mean, common sense. Plus, the important thing about having family meals together.
Excellent.
It's just important to sit around the table and talk about whatever they had on their minds, whatever their issues were in school today or whatever. It helps bring in family together, and generally families that spend time together have less problems.
Yeah, and if they have skin in the game, if they've contributed to the meal in helping their parents cook the meal, they're going to be more engaging in that particular meal, and they'll have a better appreciation of getting together and not just eating in front of the TV or in their own room or, going out to eat and that kind of thing. So, yeah, those are really good points. Now, this is interesting. This is one of my areas of it's a passion I've always had because I've always been sensitive to light, but it was a fascinating article on fluorescent findings, how artificial light is tied to inflammation. I think everybody should read this because so much of our time is spent indoors, up to 90% of our lives, even here in the tropics and the Hawaii, which has the best weather on the planet. We spend most of our waking hours indoors. And so I think that's a really imperative article.
Yes, they're pointing out that artificial light is not natural light full spectrum. And as a result, they're finding that there are some links between not having full spectrum lighting and possible genetic damage, which could lead to inflammation.
Wow.
Kind of an interesting little study.
Definitely. And then, of course, speaking of being outdoors, there's an article on pedal power, cycling boosting your brain power. It might be time for everyone to get out there and take a cerebral spin on their two-wheeled cycles. And I'm not talking about motorcycles. I remember I was talking to somebody recently, Bud, about and Becky, about the fact that I was running around Diamond Head. I was jogging around on a Sunday, and I never forget this. There was this cycling, a pack of cyclists, I guess maybe a club or something. There must have been a dozen or so. And they were all, you know, passing me by on the road, on the side of the road. And not a one of them was overweight. And then not a minute later, there was a club of motorcyclists going by, and they all had Harleys and so on. And there was not one person that wasn't overweight. So what does that tell you? You know, but anyway, so Pedal Power, that's an interesting article as well. Give us your website for people wanting more information on the magazine, and also where can they pick up a copy of the August issue of Natural Awakenings?
It's all spelled out, naturalawakeningshawaii.com.
All right.
We have a new website coming. It's due to be launched toward the end of August, so we're pretty excited about that too. And it will be the same URL, so people can go there now. And all of the articles are being transitioned over to the new website, so we're really, really excited about that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being there, both Bud and Becky, and we look forward to having you come back in September.
Wonderful. Thank you for having us.
All right. There goes Becky and Bud of Natural Awakenings Magazine. We'll take a break and be back with more information for your good health right after this.
Noni has been used by Polynesians and Hawaiians for over 2,000 years as their main medicinal plant. Now our new products bring the power of Noni fruit to you in a pleasant-to-use form. Noni fruit leather is made from pure, organic, unfermented fruit and offers relief for many health problems inside and out. Our soothing lavender Noni lotion helps with pain, skin ailments, and sports injuries. Noni fruit leather and lavender Noni lotion are available online or at most health food stores. Try our Noni lotion and fruit leather for improved health and energy.
For current health news from around the world, Hawaii depends on the HLTH Health News Network. Time now for the Health Hotline News.
All right, just a few minutes until we get into our discussion with Dr. Sean Steinman on caffeine and coffee and your health, both how it affects you positively and negatively. Sunproofing your skin with, well, a nutritious way to do it. A delicious way, I might add, at least in the first way to do it is with watermelon. Excuse me. And that is, it can reduce your risk of sunburn by more than a third, according to German research. And that's because of lycopene, which we talked about before, the antioxidant in watermelon that gives it its red color. It's an antioxidant that boosts your skin's ability to defend against damaging UV rays. Also found in tomatoes and papayas and guavas, by the way. All right, well, we have abbreviated the Health Hotline newscast this week, but we will have more next week, and of course, we'll have more right after this on caffeine and your health here on Dr. Health, and of course, our regular features next hour as well. I'm David Snow here on Dr. Health Radio. Don't go anywhere if you want to stay healthy.
When it comes to probiotics, why do employees, managers, and owners of health stores recommend and personally take Theralac more than any other brand? Results. Fast results. In fact, Theralac is the fastest-acting medicinal-strength probiotic. With patented stomach acid-resistant delivery, prebiotic stimulation, and guaranteed potency, Theralac restores regularity fast while providing all the long-term benefits of a superior probiotic supplement. Don't be fooled by probiotic products that promise higher potencies or more strains of beneficial bacteria. High potency means nothing without delivery, and more strains are not necessarily better. Theralac is optimally formulated for results. Theralac, the high-potency probiotic with guaranteed strength, delivery, and stimulation, supporting your digestion, regularity, and immunity. Theralac, available in the refrigerated section of your favorite health store. For more information, go to Theralac.com.
Is getting a good night's sleep a challenge? Fortunately, there's a superior fast-acting sleep formula called Tranquil Sleep from Natural Factors. This non-habit-forming supplement contains a unique combination of melatonin, 5-HTP, and L-theanine, which works in harmony with your body's natural sleep hormones. Tranquil Sleep can help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep sounder, and wake up refreshed, all without feeling drowsy in the morning. The key benefit comes from increasing the time spent in the deeper stages of sleep. It's only in these deeper levels of sleep that we truly experience the rejuvenation, regeneration, and recuperation that sleep provides. Even if you think you get a good night's sleep, give Tranquil Sleep a try. You might be surprised with how much better you've slept by waking up with more energy and enthusiasm to start your day. Learn more at naturalfactors.com.
Dr. Health Radio, brought to you by Hawaiian Organic Noni, the makers of Noni Fruit Leather and Noni Lavender Lotion. Discover the healing power of Noni at realnoni.com. Also by Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the endocannabinoid company featuring safe and effective phytocannabinoids without the controversial cannabis. And by Master Supplements, the creators of Theralac, the fastest-acting medical-strength probiotic. More information at Theralac.com.
It's time for coffee.
Let's get excited. Oh, we just can't
hide. Hey, we're excited you could join us this morning. Welcome back to your caffeine-free wake-up call. Who needs something in your cup to wake up when you have us on your radio? David Snow on your radio. Well, actually, we're going to talk about coffee and maybe some caffeine information along the way. In the studio with me is coffee scientist and author Dr. Sean Steinman. He's the author of the Hawaii Coffee Book, as well as Coffee, the Comprehensive Guide to the Bean, the Beverage, and the Industry. And we'd like to welcome him to the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning, Sean. How the health are you?
Good morning. I am super today.
So how much caffeine have you had so far this morning?
I moderate. I've only had 2 cups today.
Only 2 cups, and it's only 9 o'clock. Okay. So how by 9 p.m. tonight, how many cups will it be?
I'm lucky it'll be 4 or 5, but you never know.
Okay. All right. You know, I always call, and our listeners know this, I always call coffee fake awake, because that's what people use it. They use it either for a sleep substitute or to wake them up in the morning, which has always been astounding to me because that's why you sleep, to recharge your batteries. I mean, why do you need something to wake up if you're already, you know, you've already had supposedly a good night's sleep and you just heard the commercial for Tranquil Sleep, which is an awesome sleep aid, which has melatonin and a few other botanicals that really gives you a fantastic night's sleep. Now, a lot of people have insomnia because they drink too much coffee, and that's why they have to take a sleep aid like Tranquil Sleep. But anyway, let's talk first about the history. We're going to cover the map all about coffee, the health benefits, the health detriments, the environmental health aspect of coffee, you know, how it impacts the environment, the quality characteristics of a cup of Joe. But first of all, let's talk, and I know you've been to Ethiopia, and that's really where the history of coffee starts, right?
Absolutely.
So give us a 1 minute broad brush background, if you will, about coffee as it exists today. Why does it, you know, why do we consume it? 83% of us consume it on a daily basis.
Oh, it tastes good and the caffeine, right? It's pretty easy to discover why. We don't know when coffee started as a beverage. Definitely in the Ethiopian area, because that's where the biodiversity hotspot of coffee is. And it moved up to Yemen, and then Yemen had it for a while. And then finally the Europeans got their hands on it, and it slowly worked its way around the world.
And it was because the farmers, the shepherds saw goats, was it?
That's the classic myth, where there is some guy out with his herd, and they were munching on it, and they were excited from the caffeine.
Then
there's various versions after that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it didn't start as a drink. It probably started as people making tea from the leaf.
Or eating the beans.
The fruit has caffeine as well, so it might have been an easier way about it.
Mm-hmm. And isn't there a Hawaii company that's using the fruit as a beverage?
They have an extract of the fruit.
The coffee berry or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So as far as modern coffee, you know, and I just met somebody recently that works for Starbucks of all companies, and so I was pumping her with questions, information on you know, all the things that go on. I was surprised to hear that she told me, at least at her location, that 20% of all the orders are for caffeine-free, decaffeinated beverages.
That's
at Starbucks.
A really high number, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I would think 2%, but not 20%. And she works on a college campus.
Even more surprising.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe she works the midnight shift. You know, 80%, only 80% are getting the caffeine at night, you know, or something like
well,
that.
Well, it just goes to show that coffee can be delicious. It can be about the experience of the beverage, not about necessarily the drug.
I got to tell you, we talked about this before showtime. You know, whenever somebody says, oh, I just like coffee for the taste. And I say, well, what about decaf? No, don't get me close to decaf. I don't want to do it. That's always, it's really, when the truth comes out, it's for the caffeine. Kick, you know.
But there are decaf diehards. They do exist.
Are there? Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, and we'll get into, I want to ask you a little later about coffee substitutes as well as coffee competitors, but let's talk about the modern, since caffeine is the main reason people drink coffee, what's the modern coffee caffeine content, if you will? I know Starbucks, I saw a study not too many years ago that came out, and theirs was at the top. It was 269 milligrams per cup, and then Dunkin' Donuts was number two, you know, as far as Starbucks coffees. And so
this is actually a tricky question.
Depends on the portions, right?
Not just the portions. That's sort of a no-brainer, right? Because you drink a bigger cup, you're going to have more caffeine.
Yeah,
how it's made has a difference. But we don't really know what determines the caffeine content of an actual bean.
Oh, so
maybe the day the study happened, Starbucks had the higher amount, but maybe next week if they had a different bean in that cup, it would have been different.
But doesn't Starbucks use the Robusta or Arabica?
Arabica.
Arabica. So is that the one higher in caffeine than Robusta?
Higher quality, lower caffeine content.
Oh, okay.
But it varies. I mean, there's still variation.
Okay.
It's a plant, and we don't know what it influences, and the range is there. We know it exists.
Okay.
So you just never know what it's really going to be unless someone tests it.
Okay. So really, when you're getting a cup of, whether it's espresso or just a regular cup of Joe, the caffeine content might vary, 20% or 30%?
That's a great question. Assuming the same volume every time, I think 15-20% is reasonable.
15-20%, yeah. Okay. And that's why I think, well, going back to, I used to be in the food industry, and the FDA or the regulators, they allow a 20% variance in the nutritional labeling. You know, like if something says it has 10 grams of fat, it could have 12 and still be legal, or, you know, and same with supplements. It can be 1,000 milligram vitamin C can have 900 milligrams and still be legal. I mean, there's some fudge factor or wiggle room. Yeah.
Things derived from, you know, living beings which have natural variation.
Yeah,
totally
exactly.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's
I'm a little surprised
natural.
About a formulated thing, but all right, you know.
Well, but I mean, you know, there's a range there too. And of course,
that's
drugs have a tighter tolerance or limits. Now, let's talk about some of the drawbacks as well as advantages or benefits to coffee from a health standpoint, because this is, after all, a health show, Dr. Health Radio. So I know that, you know, and I've never had a cup of coffee. So, I mean, I'm
so sorry.
I'm such an exception to the rule. But most people have, and most people drink coffee on a daily basis. I know that there were studies some years ago about bladder cancer, higher incidence than coffee drinkers, other possible cancers. What's your research uncovered?
The history of coffee health research goes back quite a ways.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you know, the whole idea of decaf coffee comes from people trying to be healthier. This is back in the early 1900s.
And it was the Swiss that first started?
Well, German.
The German.
Or it was given Swiss, but someone who spoke German.
Well, I know that. I think the Swiss were the first with the water process.
Yes, decaffeinating. Yeah.
Decaffeinating.
And then there was an active commercial campaign to denigrate caffeinated coffee because the decaf folks wanted to promote their product.
Mm.
So that was sort of the start of our notion of it.
Okay.
And then there's a series of research probably in the, I don't really know, probably between the 40s and 70s that showed coffee is terrible for us.
Uh-huh.
Linked to a lot of cancer problems. But back then, people weren't teasing out the cofactor of smoking.
Oh,
so
right.
Tons of people would smoke drink.
Yeah,
and
most people that smoke do drink coffee and vice versa.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We finally figured out that's a bad thing to do. We're doing better science.
Mm-hmm.
And the short version is coffee doesn't seem to have really, in most, almost every case, any negative impact. It has short-term impacts. If you have anxiety or you have insomnia, it's going to exacerbate that.
High blood pressure.
Right. But even that's fairly acute. But in almost all cases, unless you're a weird case, it's either a very temporary response or you're a very weird case.
Yeah,
I bet people who...
Temporary, I mean, people drink it, you know, on a daily basis. So what do you... When you say temporary,
like the course of a couple of days, if I stop drinking coffee today, everything that it's doing to me, the caffeine or anything else, it's probably going to fade away within a couple of days.
but Sean, let me get back to the woman that I met that works at Starbucks. I said, have you ever gone a day without coffee? She said, that was the worst day of my life. I had to take,
the withdrawal symptoms.
Yeah, the headache was, and she's in her early 20s, I think. And so withdrawal, you know, I can quit anytime I want. You know, I just never quit.
That's a great perspective. When I think of health, I think of long-term things that are going to significantly alter my existence.
Mm-hmm.
Having a headache for half a day to me is really unfortunate, and it happens, but you know.
No, but it's only because before the Excedrin kicked in, before the
That's true. That's true. But it'll go away. But you know, like once you get the withdrawal out of the way, like any addiction.
But it takes, nobody wants to experience the 3 weeks or so of withdrawal. Okay, on that note, we need to take a bottom hour station break. And when we come back, I have many more questions for you, including some of the other health benefits or the compounds in coffee. Chlorogenic acid being one that do have some health benefits, but it's not necessarily caffeine that's doing it. So maybe the decaf is just as good for you as the caffeinated version. And also we'll talk about environmental impact of how coffee's grown. You know, there's slave labor, there's stripping of the rainforest maybe. What about shade grown versus sun grown? I know you've worked with farmers on that. Quality characteristics of coffee and much more, as well as coffee substitutes. So much more information here on our caffeine-free show. David Snow on your radio with Dr. Sean Steinman in the studio, coffee scientist and author. Back with more information for your good health right after this as Dr. Health continues.
By now, you've heard about the popularity of products containing cannabis-based CBD because of the many benefits people are experiencing by taking them. What you may not know, though, is there are other plants besides cannabis that contain these same cannabinoids. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the global leader in the research and development of plant-based phytocannabinoids, offers you 5 dual-acting formulas for the results you expect. Choose from Bliss, Brain, Calm, Inflame, and Sleep. And no matter which doctor-formulated product you choose, you can feel confident that every one of Emerald's safe and effective science-based nutritional supplements are the best value for the price. So if you're someone who's looking for more vibrant health and energy, stop by your favorite health store today to check out the next big thing, the hot products from Emerald Health Bioceuticals, or check them out at emeraldhealthbio.com. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the endocannabinoid company.
AM 690, The Answer, KHNR, Honolulu, a service of Salem Communications, on the NASDAQ at SALM, AM 690, The Answer.
Snow,
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 snow, snow.
It is David Snow on your radio. Health happens when you happen to tune in to Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine. It's your weekly dose of verbal vitamins, and we are percolating with all kinds of health information here. And today we're talking, if you're just joining us, we're talking about coffee, which a lot of you are drinking right now as we speak. This is the breakfast time of the day, and of course, I hope not too many people are drinking it for the rebroadcast, which is 9 p.m. this evening, if you're listening to the rebroadcast of the morning show. Now, let's talk about another health. Well, you mentioned sleep loss and trouble sleeping, insomnia. What is the research found there? Obviously, there is a correlation or causation there for because coffee has an effect on ATP, and it. Well, we don't have to get into the science of it, but if you want to, you're a coffee scientist after all.
Caffeine clearly is the magic key. It keeps us alert, keeps us awake. It postpones our tiredness and our sleepiness, right? So it doesn't actually fix it. It just makes us not realize that we're tired.
Exactly right. That's probably the word of the hour is postpones because people think that it's a sleep substitute or it will give you energy. It's you're borrowing energy from your body. You know, it's like a credit card. You got to eventually pay it back, right? Now, on the flip side, though, there are some advantages or benefits to coffee, one being chlorogenic acid, but which is also found in other foods, I might add, strawberries and other superfoods. But let's talk about some of the other compounds other than caffeine in coffee that gives it its benefits.
That's great because caffeine does its thing with short-term memory and some other stuff, but it's not about long-term health benefits, whereas chlorogenic acids and the other compounds that are similar to it, general category of antioxidants, supposedly are really quite amazing for us. And I say supposedly because there's a lot of laboratory studies showing how great these things are, but it's really hard to have to monitor someone drinking coffee or drinking something else and proving that these things are doing what they're supposed to be, what we hope them to be doing, inside the actual body.
Yeah, and it's so hard to do, to tease out the other variables, as you were mentioning earlier, and to do independent or double-blind placebo-controlled studies, because it's so ubiquitous and our, everybody drinks it. And as Dr. Oz said in one of his shows, he said it's the main source of antioxidants for the average American, but it's only because Americans don't consume much of the other superfoods, goji berries or, all the other fruits that are high in antioxidants. Noni, which we have done shows on, is super high. That's probably off the charts high. But it's because that's their source of antioxidants. Source.
There is a high content anyways.
There is.
Still,
yeah,
we get the high content plus the regularity of consumption.
Yeah. But don't you think now, let me take issue with you here on the caffeine content. Now, tea also, of course, has caffeine, and I consume green tea from time to time. But green tea has a lot more antioxidants in relation to the caffeine. So I'm getting more benefits, or the person would be getting more benefits from tea, green tea or white tea, et cetera, than they would from coffee. I mean, yes, you're getting less caffeine, but a lot more health benefits because of the higher antioxidant level.
This is, I'll admit this is a little out of my wheelhouse. But there's also the possibility that there's just a maximum amount of value you get, right? There might be a top-up of how much antioxidants you consume that are going to take effect in that consumptive period.
I see what you're
over time, yes, right? You want to sort of keep that level happening. But if you consume too much at once, you just might be not accessing all of it.
But,
and I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, no, if you look at the caffeine content of tea versus the antioxidants, it takes 3 or 4 cups of tea to get the maximum amount of optimal amount of antioxidants, a high level, but you're getting a lot less caffeine than you would in 3 or 4 cups of coffee.
True.
So.
But they're not really interacting, I don't think. I think they have different means of operation. It's so
metabolic pathways, you mean? Or?
Well, metabolic pathways, but how are they influencing our body? Caffeine is not going to be interacting with the same things that the antioxidants will be, because the antioxidants are going to be looking for free radicals or other loose front things, but caffeine's doing its totally different thing in a different area. So the content of one versus the other doesn't mean that they're antagonizing each other.
I'm not implying that, but I'm just saying that in order to get the benefits, the caffeine is along for the ride,
right.
But you're getting a lot more benefit, but without the drawback of too much caffeine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. I don't work for the tea board or anything.
I love tea.
Vested interest.
The reality is just that we're not a tea drinking country. It's
part
of our culture.
Yeah, not like the British tea time and everything.
Right.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the half life of caffeine in the body, about six hours, I think. And so that's why you don't want to drink coffee too late in the day, right? Because it's going to interrupt your sleep patterns and melatonin levels. And
unfortunately, the flip side of that is if you build tolerance to it, you can get away with it. Right?
Although, I saw a study recently, Sean, and that was that even though people, there's people, as you know, and maybe it's yourself too, included, that can drink coffee or can go to sleep an hour after to have a cup of coffee. But still, they found through sleep studies that the rest that they get, the quality of sleep is not the same as if they did not have the caffeine, even though they don't consciously experience any difference.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah. So anyway. Okay, so let's move on from some of the health benefits. Oh, actually, let's talk about one of the drawbacks: GERD or acid stomach. What has your research uncovered on that?
So this is something that definitely is
acids.
Important because there's sort of the sense of acid in the taste of the coffee, and people tend to associate that with their stomach response, but they don't really seem to be correlated. And there's not a lot of research that identifies what's going on, but there was some research a few years ago looking at a particular compound that's known to upset stomachs. And it is found in coffee, and it's found to be in lower amounts in darker roasted coffees.
Mm.
So some of the work has shown that people who drink darker roasted coffees that has less of this compound, they tend to respond better to a cup of coffee than they would to lighter roasts of that same coffee.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Now, I was going to ask you about roasting, but let's bring it up right now. I've heard that the darker roasts have... Now, what has more antioxidants, a light roast or a dark roast?
I bet there's a peak and a drop. So the brown color, almost all of that is antioxidant material.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you're going to start degrading that material.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's what I was thinking. The heat degrades it. Yeah.
As you get too dark. And it's hard for us to talk about dark and light of colors and coffee roasts without some means of doing so. But I would say if it's still brown, you're probably in good shape. If it starts to look blackish, I bet we're dropping off that peak.
Oh,
and that's sort of a gut feeling. It's not data-driven.
Okay. Now, what about instant coffee versus brewed coffee as far as the health ramifications of it? Irrespective of the caffeine content.
I would think they're probably very similar. Depends on how the instant coffee was made. Mm-hmm. But the idea with instant coffee is to, if not retain everything, but actually retain more than you otherwise would. Mm-hmm. So it might even be better in terms of antioxidants.
Now, that brings me to my next question, which is related, and that is cold brew coffee. That's all the rage right now, as you know.
Definitely a rage.
Where it's, I was talking to this woman that I met that works at Starbucks. She says they go through a 12-hour brewing process. Explain what the difference is between just iced coffee and cold brew coffee. Big difference there.
Yeah. You know, the whole idea is that some people love colder coffee, and they wanted to be able to make it easily in large quantities, and so it would taste really good when it's cold. Mm-hmm. If you brew coffee hot and pour it over ice, it just loses a lot because you're diluting and the coffee itself changes. So people started playing with ways to create iced coffee that retained a lot of the great flavor. And there are ways of brewing directly over ice that are quite good, but it's really easy to take some coffee and water, throw it together and forget about it, you know, till the next day and strain it. And then you have this delicious concentrate, if you will, and then you can dilute it and have a wonderful beverage.
Okay.
There was a study out that came, I seen in the media last couple of weeks, sort of comparing cold brew versus hot brewed coffees.
Uh-huh.
Did it indicate there was a difference? Unfortunately, I don't remember which one was which.
I heard that the hot brewed, for some reason, was more beneficial in some way, shape, or form.
Well, the way makes sense, because whether you're extracting with hot water or cold water is going to extract a different set of things or different concentration of things.
Okay, right, yes.
Extraction is a simple form of chemistry, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
Hotter liquids do different things. We all know this, because if you put a spoonful of sugar in a hot cup of water, it dissolves much faster than a cold cup of water.
Mm-hmm. And also, if you dissolved it in the coffee beans in alcohol, you would pull out different constituents.
Set of things. Yeah. Absolutely.
Just like herbals, a lot of people that take herbal tinctures in the health stores, certain herbs respond better. You know, they use usually a combination of ethanol and water to pull out the beneficial compounds. But it's a different ratio depending on the herb.
Of course.
So I guess the same science would apply to if you wanted to really maximize it to coffee.
Right. You have to find the right solvent to match the compound you're interested in.
Right.
And that will be different for every.
Yeah. Now, along those same lines, as far as the compounds, they were saying, I've seen some studies where they found that cold brew was more beneficial, because part of the reason that people have problems with esophageal cancer or mutagenic changes in the cells is because they drink the coffee, temperature-wise, they drink the coffee so hot that it injures the cells. You know, it's
deleterious
to the cells. So that makes sense, because anything hot, you know, I mean, you're
transferring energy.
Yeah, 140-degree coffee. I mean, you heard of that woman years ago that sued McDonald's because she spilled coffee in her lap, for goodness sake, you know, or something like that, or the coffee was too hot. And people drink coffee. I can't believe how hot people drink coffee.
Some do. My experience is that most people let it cool down. But, yeah, some people want it right off as soon as it's ready.
I got to cool off my non-caffeinated temper here. We need to take one last break of the hour, and we'll be back with more information with Dr. Sean Steinman talking about coffee. He's a coffee scientist, and we'll give out a website if he wants to give one. We'll talk about the growth of coffee, how it's grown in farms, and sustainable agriculture, as well as what's the difference between shade-grown and sun-grown, and Kona coffee. There's a lot of fraud, or that there has been in the past, you know, where something is 2% Kona coffee and then the rest is just regular coffee. We'll talk about that, as well as coffee substitutes made of chicory and dandelion and other things. So much more information to come here on the Healthiest 2 Hours on Radio. I'm David Snow. Don't go anywhere if you want to stay healthy.
With all the news about side effects of prescription and OTC anti-inflammatories, just launched is Xanthocin, a very potent yet safe anti-inflammatory supplement for health and longevity. Xanthocin is the result of decades of research on the natural compound astaxanthin, proved to support inflammatory health without the side effects. And Xanthocin is a pure and highly absorbed form of astaxanthin, endorsed by doctors and healthcare professionals for superior health and anti-aging benefits, backed by 1,500 peer-reviewed papers and over 50 human trials. It's also potent. In fact, just two capsules of Xanthocin with a meal equals six capsules of other astaxanthin products. So enhance your supplement regimen today by adding Xanthocin to support your inflammatory health and longevity. You can find physician-endorsed Xanthocin at all GNC locations in Hawaii and the mainland, or order it online at xanthocin.com.
That makes you you. Where did you get that confidence that lets you look like you do? Oh, what a look. Yes, you're looking good. You take care of your teeth just like you should. Where did you get that smile, the one that belongs to you? Nothing looks so right than a smile that's so bright. Tell me, you can smile so beautifully. Beautiful smiles are a specialty. Where did you get that smile? Beautiful smiles from Dr. Dennis Nagata.
I love coffee, I love tea. I love a Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me. A cup.
Oh, okay. Well, cappuccino, crappuccino, frappuccino, Al Pacino, it's all the same to me. Anyway, welcome back to the program. It's David Snow on your radio. We're talking about coffee and caffeine. 85%, well, 83, 87% of the population, depending on what study you read, drinks coffee on a daily basis or caffeinated beverages. In fact, we were talking during the break. By the way, our guest is Dr. Sean Steinman, the author of the Hawaii Coffee Book. He's a coffee scientist. And you were saying that even toothpaste, there's a toothpaste caffeine fortified.
If you can find a place to put it, it seems someone's done it, right?
I'll tell you, man. There's caffeinated candy, caffeinated cookies I've seen. There's a caffeinated beef jerky. I think perky jerky. Anyway, let's talk about some of the ways coffee is grown. We'll get off the... I'll get off my soapbox of being deleterious to your health. But as far as the characteristics of coffee, especially, you know, the fact that Hawaii is the only commercial coffee-growing state in our country, I think so far, isn't it?
There's a small place in California trying to start industry, but it's pretty manini still.
Yeah, right. Okay. So let's talk about Kona Coffee because
that's what people know.
Yeah, everybody knows Kona Coffee, and it's one of the most popular tourist purchases of, along with macadamia nuts and other things. But is there as much fraud going on now as there was in the past? I mean, I know they have more regulations in place where if something says a Kona Coffee blend, it has to be what, 10% Kona Coffee?
It has to be 10%.
Okay. What are the other regulations?
So the regulations are if you're going to use a Hawaii origin name and it's going to be listed on the bag, then you have to put how much is in there. It has to be at least 10%.
Okay.
And there's rules about the size of the print and all these things.
Gotcha.
But, there's a lot of talk about fraud that happens locally, but it's very hard to prove because we don't yet have a chemical marker that can prove where coffee's from.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time where they can test the DNA of the coffee.
There's an interesting lawsuit that just came out in Washington that some Kona farmers are suing some very large companies saying they're selling coffees on the mainland that are not actually Kona coffees, even though they say Kona on the bag.
Wow.
It's a big deal, and they think they have some chemical analysis that backs up their claims.
Interesting.
It's really interesting.
And you're talking about the big players like, what, Nestle or Folgers?
Retailers like Costco and Amazon and Walmart.
Wow.
Big players.
Those are big players, the biggest. All right. Now, let's talk about the growth of coffee, or growing coffee, I should say. You know, there's some accusations of slave labor in other countries. You know, they're stripping the rainforest to, you know, develop coffee plantations. What's your experience been? You've been around the world into many countries.
I have been, and I... Part of the my sorrow is that it's hard to actually see these things when you're there because you don't necessarily know what you're seeing. But there's many stories and many media articles and of practices that which wouldn't fly in the U.S. Just one reason why it's good to buy U.S. coffee, because we know that our people
fair trade, etc.
There are certainly people probably too young, probably some child labor. There's probably people who are servants or indentured servants or slaves in some places. There are certainly people who it may not be officially slavery, but because they're earning so little, it's a, I would say, a type of slavery or a type of existence that we would never approve of. There's lots of people grow coffee around the world, probably too many people, and the when supply is a little higher than demand is, things just get worse and worse because they're sort of a race to the bottom in all sorts of ways.
What coffee or what country is coming up strongly with their coffee agricultural practices, or you know the yields and the progression of that industry as a business?
Oh, that's a tough question, because what we see is that we have countries that have been growing coffee for some centuries now. We have ones who have been really growing it for a long time, and then once the Europeans got a hold of it, all of their sort of colonies, they've been growing it for some centuries now. And there's always some new countries that are either revitalizing the economy or returning to coffee. There's a lot of ways of answering that question.
Now, you said before the show that Saudi Arabia, you might be traveling there for consulting because they're looking at it to diversify their agriculture.
Yeah, places that you would never suspect it, right? They have weird climates and they have weird histories. But, you know, the Middle East, Yemen, Saudi Arabia, they have a very rich history of coffee.
The history started of the history
exactly.
of coffee.
So there's some return to that or some
interesting. Okay.
possibility.
Now, what about the latest trends here in America? I know cold brew's, you know, big, and it's one of the rages or trends or fads, if you will. Do you think it's going to stick around and be a staple?
I do, because I thought it was going to already die out. But here, and it's still pretty popular. And, you know, people have always liked iced coffee. This is just a way of doing it and serving it. Attached with also, I don't know if you know about nitro cold brew coffee, where you make the cold brew, then you flush nitrogen through it, so it gets creamy like a Guinness would.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It's a nice little experience along with
And, you know, this
coffee.
Woman I bought, that I met... works at Starbucks. She said that the cold brew actually has more caffeine than.
It depends on how it's made and how they serve it. Okay. Oftentimes, when you make cold brew, you sort of make a concentrate and then you dilute it with water and or more ice. Mm-hmm. And if you dilute it properly, you can dilute it to basically the same concentration it would be or hot. So there's no blanket statement there. I think.
Make. Yeah, but she was saying also that one of the the venti or one of the espressos there or one of their drinks. Has 3 shots of espresso. I mean, my God.
A lot
God.
Of caffeine.
And the largest size coffee is 30 ounces.
That's a lot of liquid.
I mean, come on. You know, when they did standards for 100 milligrams of coffee or of caffeine for home-brewed coffee in coffee pots, they use 6 ounces as a...
Probably. Almost all coffee pots you can buy, right, have cups on them, but they're like... 5 or 6
cups. But you know the original coffee cups were just they were small.
Yeah,
you know you look at people's old china, your grandmother's old china, and they look like doll sized cups now these days. You
so
know
true.
Compared to the big mugs that they're like steins, beer steins or something. You know, but anyway, so let's talk also about. I wanted to mention. Since the Keurig, K cups are popular now. What's your experience on that as a coffee scientist?
Well, it is a marvel of technology, and it's a marvel of convenience. Even if they're a little more expensive per unit,
right?
And you'll find any serious coffee person sort of laying out this. Well, here's why it's good, but then from the coffee snob aspect, it's a little heartbreaking because it's super convenient. So you feel like you're missing the magic of preparation,
the whole ritual.
But you're also no matter what the company says, there's a certain amount of freshness that you're losing.
Oh, you are. Okay.
Getting that coffee because you have to be pre-ground and pre-sealed, and there's a certain amount of things that are going to play out.
I know here in the studio or in our break room here, we have six radio stations, which, by the way, run on caffeine.
That's what was in the river I passed over.
In case people didn't know that. But anyway, the people I've talked to here at the station say that they're a lot happier with the Keurig. Then we had this really fancy machine, a big honking machine, and you could press all these buttons and get, you know, this flavor and that blend and this espresso, and they're super happy with this simple Keurig machine.
There's something to be said for simple and high quality. Yeah, I remember my sense of what high quality is for me is different than other people.
Right,
and
that's subjective.
That's
right.
Totally okay. Mm.
Okay.
And so if you ask about that K cup machine, you have to have that context of what does that mean.
Okay. Now let's shift gears because we only have a few minutes left. Coffee substitutes. There's Postum. There's one in health food stores called Bamboo. It's B-A-M-B-U. It's a European or a Swiss brand. But, you know, they're based, they're chicory or dandelion based, herbal based. Those are, you know, healthy for you, and they taste pretty close to what coffee tastes like. But any experience? I know you're not a coffee substitute scientist. You're a coffee scientist. But have you had any experience with that?
Not of the direct products. And I probably should. I mean, I've been to New Orleans and I've been to Café du Monde.
Right.
I've had a cup of coffee and I've had it elsewhere. And the chicory aspect, it does add its own thing. It adds some bitterness and whatever it is. Mm-hmm.
That's good for the liver.
And it's perfectly good if somebody, you know. I'm a coffee purist. I just want coffee.
Okay. Well, excuse me.
But if you want the experience or a sense of the experience without all of the coffee or caffeine, mm-hmm. then that's a brilliant thing to do.
Yeah. Okay.
Certainly.
And maybe it would be close enough to caffeine-free taste.
Right. That you still get the – well, part of it maybe the warm beverage, right?
Yeah,
the hot, warm, dark
exactly.
liquid. And there's a psychology.
Again, the ritual, yeah.
Plays a role.
Now, what about the fact that some people say, well, I can taste the difference between – decaf and caffeinated coffee.
I think that was true at one
point.
That
used to be. Okay.
I think now we are our process for decaffeinating is much better, and people are using better coffees in the process.
So
you have sort of a good in, good out experience.
I see. And what about shade grown versus sun grown? Does that have an effect on taste?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
The data is – this is actually the topic
marketing.
Of my dissertation, so I could spend several hours talking about it if you want. But you don't. So – I think no.
Several seconds.
I think shade or light does not have any effect on taste.
Oh, interesting. So the Kona coffee, is it the whole climate picture put together? I mean, it's not just the shade. It's not the elevation. It's not the humidity. It's just all those factors
right,
combined.
Lots of factors.
Yeah.
Environmental alone that play into the role. Never
right,
mind
right. Mm-hmm.
the farmer, him or herself, who's doing what they're doing and
okay.
various things later on.
Okay. So it's kind of like Maui onions where it's just the Vidalia onion, but it's the conditions, the soil, humidity, et cetera,
yes.
that makes it that sweet taste. Okay. All right. Good. What do you see as the trend for coffee, the coffee industry in the future?
$1 million question. I think we're going to see some bifurcation. We already have some. I think it's going to get greater in the sense that we have people who sort of want something that's cheap, caffeinated, and familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And then the specialty coffee segment, which is a branch of coffee really that touts really the experience of taste at a very high level or very nuanced level.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see more of that. And I think these two players are going to be less, not less friendly, but there's going to be less overlap of the communities who consume them.
Oh.
I think we'll see a lot more engagement with the producers in some way or another.
Uh-huh. Do you see like the microbreweries with beers, do you see more segmentation, you know, like smaller coffee growers and with the internet, the advent of the internet, you know, people can market it in other ways other than having to pay slotting allowances on the grocery store shelves. And it's not just Folgers and Nestle and Maxwell House Coffee and the big players, but it can be a lot of small players as well, right?
It's true. And we've seen that somewhat in the last 20 years. I think that's going to get even more so. And I think we're going to see farmers around the world being more involved in ways mm-hmm. that we haven't even yet understood.
Oh, okay. Now, let me put you on the spot, Dr. Steinman, and ask, what is your favorite coffee?
I don't have a favorite coffee.
There are
flavor profiles I
don't
like.
Don't be politically correct on
no,
us.
No, I'm not. That's the problem. I'm a novelty seeker, so I like something different every time.
Oh, okay. All right. And maybe the demographics of coffee drinkers in general, or at least maybe Starbucks customers, could be that same thing. And that's why they have to come out with new drinks every month.
Or to get more customers. But there are a lot of people who this is my thing. I want it.
Okay. All right. Oh, that's interesting. And so you're off to faraway places with strange-sounding names, possibly?
I hope so. The next couple of weeks, all over the world. Should show some very interesting potential.
Is there a website people can get in touch with you at?
People can certainly go to my website, which is old and clunky right now, but give me a few weeks.
Oldandclunky.com?
Right.
Is that
I like a good comedian. No, the website is coffeaconsulting.com. Oh, okay. Coffea is a genus name that coffee is in, so C-O-F-F-E-A.
Okay.
Confuses everybody. Oh, is this coffee and tea? No, no, no.
Fancy schmancy. Right. Okay, coffee
consulting.
Consulting.com. All right, great. Well, can't thank you enough, Dr. Steinman. And we invite any new research or information, and I will disseminate it to the listeners, even though I'm, you know, I get on my soapbox sometimes and I'm like anti-coffee, anti-caffeine. But
we can't all be perfect. I understand.
Well, you know, one thing I was going to say when we were talking about the caffeine or the health aspects of caffeine and coffee and on the human body is that the best way, and I talked about this, was it off the air or on, Starbucks employee, she said, I did mention it at the outset, where she could only go half a day without coffee, right? But the according to research on caffeine, the best way to use caffeine is actually cyclic, and that, you know, don't get dependent on it. But if you can use it occasionally, like athletic events, or, you know, maybe if you don't get enough sleep or this and that, but use it here and there.
Sort of as needed.
As needed, exactly.
The effect's amazing.
Yeah, and it's, you don't build up the tolerance, and you still get the benefits, but, you know, very little downside. And, I mean, that's really a thing to do. But the problem is, just like other drugs, and by the way, caffeine is the world's most popular drug, coffee is, but it's so pleasurable, and it makes you feel so good that why wouldn't you want more of it? Because everybody wants more pleasure and less pain, right? So
I wonder what it would be like if coffee didn't taste good. Would caffeine consumption exist?
Coffee doesn't taste good. That's one reason I've never had a cup. Are you kidding? It's the bitterest. I must be a super taster. That's another program. Okay. Dr. Sean Steinman with us this hour. And next hour, excuse me, I hear the bumper music in the background, I think. Next hour, Jennifer Cochran joins us. She's going to simplify your life to be healthier. We'll have all of our regular features next hour as well. The Fitness File, Matters of Sexual Health, the Funny Bone Pharmacy, and Dick Allgaier's Health Report. So stay tuned for hour number two after the top of the hour Fox News here on AM 690 and FM 94.3, The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.